We've been speaking quite a lot recently about the reality of our Lord Jesus' death and resurrection. And I need to go back to a few years back when I was asking the question, I was saying, Father, what is your answer for our nation with all its problems, with the poverty, with the drugs, with abuse, you name it, no matter what problems, what is your answer? And when he showed me in the vision and he spoke to me and he said, the answer is the centrality of my son's death, his death and his resurrection. And we know that from a human mindset, that is absolutely foolishness. It's what? What do you mean that's the answer? And we say that because we do not know the depth and the incredible insight and the reality of what Christ has done for mankind. If we just go back before the fall to look at Adam and Eve and look at creation, how it is, and then we see the consequences because of sin, and then we can see, wow, Jesus, you've come to restore all things, take it back to the original purpose of God. Then we start to see that in his death, it includes all things. and so we are learning as believers to simply believe that. Faith and authority go together. You cannot separate faith and authority. So remember when the centurion or the rich, the military guy came to Jesus and said, my servant is sick. I'm a man under authority, so I understand authority. You just need to speak. And what did Jesus say? This military man is recognizing the authority in Jesus, and he had faith in the ability of Jesus. And so authority and faith is so, so connected. So the more we have faith in the power of the cross of Jesus and his death and resurrection, the more we can walk in authority. The more we grow in authority. And as we looked out on Wednesday there, when we started to look at the gifts, there's a in Romans 12 where Paul is writing and he says, do not think of yourself more than you really are. really evaluate your life according to the faith that you have been given. And have a sober understanding, because we may think, wow, we are walking in this great authority. But a good starting point is to say, Lord, if I look at your authority and what you have done and how you walked and how you lived, and I look at my life, I realize I need to grow in this area. And so he will help us to grow in authority. Our community, our cities, our town, our families, our own personal lives, we need to know that when God has spoken in his word, we can totally have total confidence that what he has spoken, what he has shared, it'll come about. And so all of that is very important for us right now in understanding the reality of atonement that we've been looking at. Okay, and that is why God started with us when he started off about love. He went on to speak to us about faith, understanding that faith is a total confidence, whether it is whether we are being fully persuaded by the media, we are living our lives according to the media. We have faith in what we have heard. That's faith. Okay? Whether Satan has been telling us we are useless people, we're this and that, religious spirits have been saying this, whatever, and we totally believe what they're saying is true, we are living our lives according to that. We are living a life of faith. We're fully persuaded what we're hearing is the absolute truth, and we live our lives. The same with our inner voice, with what we say about ourselves. We are fully persuaded that what we are saying about ourselves is the absolute truth. We live our lives according to that. Other people's opinions makes no difference. But for us now, because of the incredible love of God, he speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. He's given us his word. He communicates to us. The Holy Spirit continually makes the thoughts of the Father known to us. The word comes alive, so that we become fully persuaded that what our Father is saying is so good for our lives. that we believe that what he is saying is the absolute truth, and so we live our lives according to that absolute truth that our Father has spoken to us about. And that's why the righteous will live by faith. Okay, so that is the reality. So our natural senses, our natural world, all the time is fighting that. And it's impossible. Look at this, look at that, look at that. Fear, 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 fear. All these things happen around us and in us and our emotions. All of that is to try and get us to be fully persuaded in what we see, what we hear, what we smell, our senses, instead of what the Spirit of God has communicated to us. When we are fully persuaded, now we can operate in authority. Authority and faith cannot be separated. And now we can operate in authority. And that authority, now you'll start to, as we grow in it, there is based on what we've heard our Father say to us by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's sort of just leading up to today. Now, before we look at the scriptures, as we've been looking at redemption, two important things for us to remember when you're speaking about redemption. Just for those that are just joining us, redemption is like when a child is kidnapped. That child belongs to you, and now someone else has taken possession and they say, I want so much money, the ransom, and you pay that price to get what actually is yours, you get it back. So that's what we're speaking about when it comes to redemption. We belong to God, God created us, sin has captured us, and because of sin having captured us, we are now under the authority of the demonic realm as well. Jesus comes and he paid the price so that we who belong to God, once again, now the price has been paid, legal price has been paid, and now we once again belong to God. That's why he calls us children of God, purchased by his blood. So that's what we're busy looking at. So it's important that when we speak about redemption, and particularly as we're looking at now the fact of coming out, where Christ came into the marketplace, the slave market, and paid the price, and he takes us out, he doesn't leave us there. Why? Because redemption has to do with ownership. Okay? So if you go to a supermarket and you go and buy food, groceries, you take it home. It belongs to you. See, that's what Christ has done. He's brought us home. He's brought us back to the Father. He brought us by the blood into the love of the Father, into the reality of sonship. He's paid the price. And so he's taken us out of being slaves and orphans, etc. And now he's brought us into his heart, home, into the Father's love, into the relationship, into his family. And everything now is for us to be able to begin to experience what it is to live home. In the Father's love, in the Father's heart, in the reality of the Son, the Holy Spirit, in the family of God, being loved by Him. The same love that the Father has for His Son Jesus and showed on this earth is exactly the same love that our Father has for you and I. Okay, now everything is to try and persuade us that's a lie. How can this loving God do this? How can this loving God do this? And so we look at all this stuff there, and Satan says, no, 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 but look, if God is love, why is this happening? See, it's a deception, because the reality is man's got a free choice, man is controlled by sin, and man is doing evil. Okay, it's not God doing it, it's man busy doing that. And so now, as we go on, we've got to realize that when we speak about redemption, ownership, He's poured His Spirit in us, the Spirit of His Son Jesus, so that by the Spirit we are now into the family of God as sons and daughters. Okay, we belong to God. Very important. The second part of redemption that is vital for us to be established in is that Jesus did not go into the slave market and negotiate with your sin and with my sin. Jesus did not come and say to the sin master that's ruling our lives and said, sin, let's negotiate. I have 40% and you can have 60% of that person. Imagine if that happened. Know what sin will do? Sin will say, no, Jesus. In this negotiation, there's no way you're going to be having 40% or you're not going to have 100%. You can have 10%. So then there's a form of godliness that denies the power. Because now it's a pretense. Jesus got 10%. No. Jesus says, I don't negotiate. I'm paying the full price, 100% ownership. I'm dealing with you as a power of sin in that person's life. I've destroyed you. See, total price has been paid. No negotiations for our lives. Jesus has paid the full price. It's not that he's still going to come and pay. He's already done it. Okay, so we've got to understand, to be established within our lives, that Jesus, you're not negotiating with the sin in me. You've already died. You've already paid that price, the full price, so that that power of sin, that sin master that I used to be enslaved to, that no longer controls my life. I'm totally free from that because you paid the price. It's a mind shift that must take place so that you can begin to experience how the power of the blood of Christ keeps us free from going back into sin all the time, being trapped into sin, being enslaved by sin, so that we can really live the abundant life that Christ has given to us. So those are two important things for us to just be established in as we continue with what we are looking at in the redemption. Now I want to read from Galatians, and I'm reading again just from the Passion Translation in chapter 3. And chapter 4, and then we're going to be looking at Colossians. Well, I'll start with Colossians, and then I'll come to Galatians. In Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 10. This is just illustrating the fact that Christ came and paid the full price. We are totally His. We belong to Him, and the total victory. This is concerning Jesus. For he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form. And our own completeness is now found in him. And our own completeness is now found in him. Very incredible truth if you just spend time in understanding my own completeness is found in you, Lord. Not found in other people valuing me or people's opinions or what I have, success and achievements and all that there. No. My own completeness is found in you. What a place of peace and rest in being rooted in this truth. My own completeness, our own completeness is found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head and of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Now, verse 11. Through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of heart. All of the guilt and the power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us. He did not negotiate with our sin. He cut it off in his death. It's been totally destroyed, totally cut off from us. That old Adam who we used to be is no longer you and I. We are a new creation in Christ. And then we carry on in verse 12. For we have been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we are raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from death realm. Now notice this, this realm of death describes our former state. For we were held in sin's grasp, but now we have been resurrected out of that realm of death. What are we looking at in redemption? Jesus has taken us out of that realm of death. Where have we been taken to? Into his kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his Son whom he loves. Okay, out of. Now we carry on over here. This realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp, but now we have been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return. For we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins. You're getting the reality that Jesus didn't negotiate and pay half price. He paid the full price for our freedom. Okay, very, very important, because that full price includes everything about our lives. There's nothing now that you can say, but maybe Jesus didn't deal with that today or with that over there. No. Everything, the power of sin within us has been totally paid for, dealt with. And that's why we have peace with God, as we looked at right in the beginning about God's justice and his wrath. Now, let's carry on. He cancelled our every legal violation we had on our record, and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us, he erased it all. Our sins, our stained soul, he deleted it, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public spectacle, display of cancellation. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a possession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his. And that's the reality of the cross of Jesus Christ. So we are learning now, as a child of God, how do we live in the fullness of that? How do we enter into the greater experience of what we've just read? How do we go from just superficial understanding of it and enter into the life of this, into the truth of this, into the freedom, into the power of this incredible truth that we have just now read? See, and that's the invitation today. This is what our Heavenly Father wants to invite us to be able to come and say, Lord, I measure, if I have a look at myself, I'm not going to think of myself more highly than I ought to. I may boast that I know all of this, but no, I don't, Lord. And I'm asking you to teach me now. I'm asking you to take me into this. I'm asking you to make this real, what you did on that cross. I want to live loved by you. I want to know your love, Lord Jesus. Okay. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Okay. You search. You ask. All the time. Coming to the Father now, because He's just so good. He, as I always say, He loves us too much to leave us stuck where we are. That's why all the time He invites us to participate and say, this is what I'm sharing with you. It's an invitation to come and say, Father, I want to live that. I want to become one with that truth that you're sharing with me. And that's why I keep on saying, guys, when God gives you a truth, don't just bypass it and quickly run to something else. Get into it. Let it become one so that you start to live in the reality of the truth. Otherwise, it's a form of godliness and denying the power of that truth all the time. No. We want to live it. We want to be able to, whatever we do, whatever we say, we're wanting to see the power, the authority of that truth manifesting where we go. Okay. That's why we are light. We are children of God. This is the reality of believers that are coming out of sort of just there being a Christian and coming into, we are children of God. You know, when in 1 John 4, verse 17 says something profound, that we are like Jesus in this world. That's our reality. And this is what the Holy Spirit is sharing, and we want inviting us so that we will be like Jesus in this dark world. That's profound. That's exciting. That's life. That's the purpose of being alive, so that we, as just like Jesus, not divine, but like Him, because He's in us. Just the Father's work being displayed, the Father's love being released, the authority of Jesus being manifested and touching people's lives. That's a supernatural lifestyle which should be our natural lifestyle. Let's be honest and say, but Lord, I'm not living like that. Let's be honest about this and say, but Lord, I desire that. And yes, Lord, teach me now how to become that, so that I live as if you are alive today on this earth because you are alive in me. Let's be honest. Let's enter into the great invitation that our Father is giving to us. Okay, so we carry on. And I want to go now to Galatians. One of the incredible truths, everything about the atonement is a done deal. So our sin's been paid for, the power of the sin's been broken, our resurrection, our eternal life, our new spiritual bodies, it's all a done deal. Okay, now we are now learning to work it out. We are learning to live it out. We are learning to begin to make it known. And here in Philippians, we'll get to Galatians now, in Philippians 2 in verse 11 or 12, my beloved ones, just like you always listened to everything I taught you in the past, I'm asking you now to keep following my instructions as though I was right there with you. So here we see that as the Spirit of God gives a truth, these folk were busy living it out. And he says, now continue to do that. Why? I'm asking you to keep on doing that. Don't get tired, don't get weary of doing that at all. Okay? Now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested as you live in the holy awe of God, which brings us trembling into His presence. God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases Him. Live a cheerful life, he carries on. And this is what's happening to all of us, where as we listen to what the Holy Spirit has spoken and we now begin to respond, we want the fullness of this truth to manifest in our lives. Work out our salvation with fear and trembling is what the NIV writes over there. Okay, and that is what's happening over there. And that's a joy. And that's why you probably find you being persecuted by the enemy, by people, whatever the case may be. As Jesus was in the world, so we, and the religious people didn't like Jesus. But that's just part of just showing them and learning the wisdom on what to do with all the opposition that we do face and experience in our lives. So let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Now in Galatians chapter 3, we're dealing here with something profound, because the word ex agorizo, which means to bring out, is used twice in the New Testament in context of the redemption. It's used when people went to go and buy food, it's used there as well. But when it comes to the reality of the redeeming blood of Jesus, it's used twice. And it's very important where it's used, in Galatians chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 4. Let's have a look at that, so that we know what we've been taken out of and enjoy living life loved by our Father. So here in Galatians chapter 3, what is taking place? Remember, Galatia is a Roman province, so it's Gentiles that he's speaking with. These Gentiles have heard the gospel, they've received the Holy Spirit, they are born again believers, they love Jesus Christ, and now comes people that are from the law side, so it's the teachers of the law, they coming into this situation, and they don't like the freedom that these Galatians have. They don't like it, okay? So now they come and they say, no, you need to be circumcised. Jesus is not enough. You've got to add this now. You've got to start putting a works into this, so that you've got to do this works in order to have eternal life. So these groups of people that are coming into the body of Christ in Galatia are now wanting to bring the religious aspect of their belief system into the believer's life. So the whole religious Old Testament covenant, you've got to start to follow that. And now Paul is addressing that. Now, remember, it's Galatians, it's Gentiles who have a huge understanding of the lifestyle of the Jewish people. The religious activity of the Jewish nation was spread everywhere. So everybody understood the Jews' religious practices, their sacrifices and all that over there. So because Israel was to be a testimony, a witness of the reality that when they obey God, the nations can see the blessings of God in their lives. But when they disobey God, the nations can see. Well, this is what happens when you disobey God. Now you start to see the judgment of God upon their lives. So their lifestyle was to be a witness, a testimony to all the other nations. Okay, they are a kingdom of priests to declare the wonders of God. And so even before the law was given, in the reality, or even after the law, but in the battles all the time, what will take place? All the other nations will start to fear. They'll say, but no, this God of Israel is too strong for us. Why is it when another nation conquered Israel, they run to the temple and they steal all the temple stuff and they take it to their God, to their gods from that religion, because now they're saying our God is stronger than the God of Israel. You see, so that's why it's always a battle of the gods that was taking place. That's the reality of it is, and it hasn't changed. We still have that reality today. And that's why as Christians we have to understand what it is to walk in authority and faith, so that the real Jesus is seen. People can realize, wow, but these disciples have been with Jesus. They're not like all the other religious leaders. They've been with Jesus. Just in Acts. They can see the boldness. They can see the courage. They can see the evidence of the miraculous taking place. They're not like the rest. They've been with Jesus. The town where we are, the places where we work, that's our journey now. People must say, these people, they have been with Jesus. And they can see that. Okay, so now in Galatians, let me just read over here from verse... Now, I'll have to go just to get the context on. Let me just go to verse 9. And so the blessing of Abram's faith is now our blessing too. So Paul is now saying, guys, these people are wanting to put the law on you. But I need to show you, before God gave the law to Moses, God, 430 years prior to that, had given the covenant to Abraham. And he said to Abraham, Abraham, through your seed, singular, through your seed, all nations will be blessed. And Abraham simply believed, and he was then credited to be right standing with God because he simply believed. And so he became the father of faith. And so all the time, all God wanted was to simply believe in him. He had promised a deliverer is going to come. He promised, because we see in Galatians 3 over there, that seed refers to Jesus Christ. So God announced the gospel to Abraham years ago, and Abraham received it. So now we have this. So now Paul is saying, okay, the law only came after that, 430 years later. So now the Jews received the written law. And because they'd received the written law, there was a purpose for that. God always wanted man to live by faith. So when God spoke to Adam and Eve, and he said to them, do this and do that over there, they just simply believed and they did. Satan came, deceived. So that once again now they could disobey God, and now be fully persuaded by what Satan is saying is the truth. And so Eve was fully persuaded and she believed and Adam followed, and there comes the fall. So from that moment onwards, we see the reality of how mankind was required to live by faith. So when God spoke to Adam and Eve after the fall in Genesis 3, and he says, a child's going to come from you. It's going to crush the head of the serpent. They simply believed. Faith. They simply believed. So they lived a life of faith. When God spoke to Noah, simply believed. Credited righteous, simply believed. And just did what he had to do. And throughout that period of time there, God now speaks to Abraham. Abraham simply believed. God always wanted us to hear what he said and just simply believe and walk in his ways, what he has said all the time. Man's conscience became hardened. Man became distant. They became rebellious. The sin inside of people is anti-God. Now he brings in the law. The law came in so that the people now became so aware of their sin. So now there's no excuse. Now they have a written law, so now all of a sudden, as we see there in Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 6 and 7, all of a sudden now, sin has come alive. I would try and pretend and make excuses. Do not steal. No. I can justify that. But now the law has been given, and now all of a sudden it comes alive. Now we know the moral law of God. Stealing or lying or all that kind of stuff is against the ways of God. So that's what the law was used for, to make sin become people become aware of their sin, and it was to lead them to Jesus Christ. Okay, so now we have this, and so the blessing of Abraham's faith is now our blessing too, speaking to the Gentiles. But if you choose to live in bondage under the legalistic rule of religion, you live under the law's curse. For it is clearly written, utterly cursed is anyone who fails to practice every detail and requirements that is written in this law. So now humanity is living under this curse. Okay? He's dealing now with the Jews. But remember, in the garden there were two trees. Tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So all mankind, born from that moment of the fall, inside, they knew what is right and what is wrong. Their conscience, as we see in Romans 2, their conscience now making them aware of it, because it's written in man's heart. So now we have the Jews have got the written law. Now they are receiving that disobedience to that there. They're living in the curse. Obedient to that, they live in the blessing of God. All of humanity, in their hearts, they know what is right and wrong because we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So all mankind is accountable. So all of mankind, not just the Jews, it goes deeper than that, all of humanity is living in the reality of blessing and curses. Sin is rebelliousness to God. So humanity is living under the curse of God. That's why we see there that all mankind is under the wrath of God. It's only in Christ Jesus that you can be removed from the wrath of God. The good news of God. For the scriptures reveal, and it is obvious that no one achieves the righteousness of God by attempting to keep the law, for it is written, those who have been made holy will live by faith. Okay? But keeping the law does not require faith, but self-effort. For the law teaches, if you practice the principles of the law, you must follow all of them. Yet Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. He absorbed it completely as he became a curse in our place. Okay, that's the whole teaching of the substitution that we looked at. For it is written, anyone who is hung upon a tree is doubly cursed. Jesus, our Messiah, was cursed in our place and in so doing dissolved the curse from our lives so that all the blessings of Abraham can be poured out upon even non-Jewish believers. And now God gives us the promise of the wonderful Holy Spirit who lives within us when we believe in Him. And we carry on there. Now in chapter 4, he goes a little bit deeper. And we read there in verse 1, in a similar way, God has promised our ancestors something better. But as long as an heir is a minor, he is not really much different than a servant, although he is the master over all of them. But until the time appointed by the Father, When he comes of age, the child is under the domestic supervision of the guardian of the estate. Okay, now verse 3. So it is with us. When we were children, we were enslaved under the hostile spirits of the world. But when the era came to an end and the time of fulfillment had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the written law. Yet all of this was so that he would redeem, take us out, that's the ex agorizo, he would redeem and set free all those held hostage to the written law, so that we would receive our freedom and a full legal adoption as his children. And so that we know for sure that we are his children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, "My Father, you are our true Father." Now we are no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy, listen to this, now we are no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we are his, we can access everything our Father has. For we are heirs of God through Jesus the Messiah. Oh, that's so deep. There's so much more over there. So let's put it into practice. All of us, because of sin, were under the wrath of God. In other words, the curse of God. Okay? It's God's divine punishment because of disobedience. Jesus comes. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth has come through his son Jesus Christ. Jesus comes, the good news of God. The gospel is a righteousness from God that is revealed in the gospel of his son Jesus. And so we simply believed in Jesus. We were then credited the righteousness of Jesus. So his righteousness becomes our righteousness. Okay? We live now in the reality of what it is to be a true son and daughter of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. An incredible, incredible truth over here. That in Christ Jesus, we have every spiritual blessing. Remember what we just read there now? Now that we are no longer slaves, he's put his spirit in us so that we are full children of God, not half children of God. We are full children of God, loved by him. We have access into all what he has. Do I live in that reality? See, we must be honest with ourselves. Do I live in that reality of that access into the fullness of what the Father has? Do I know how to receive? Let's be honest. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift. As a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. And this is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. What have we received? Oh, the Spirit is just removing all the deception from our hearts and because our spirit has been redeemed. Doesn't belong to sin. So now we are able to begin to, wow, God, this is what we have. You have given us, first of all, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The most incredible love gift that he's given to you and I. Because by the Holy Spirit, we have access into the things of God through his son, Jesus Christ. What has he given to us? He has given us every spiritual blessing. What is that? Good question. I'm pleased you asked that question. Because God is inviting all of us to ask, what do you mean there, Father? I'm stepping in. Please show me. I want to live that. I want every spiritual blessing to manifest fully through my life. I'm asking for that, Father. Every gift that God has given to us is because it's a love gift to you and I. It's His love that He's given. He's poured His Spirit, He's poured His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Everything that our Father has done for us, everything that our Father does for us, everything that our Father will be doing for us as we work out our salvation is because of His incredible love for you and I. Everything. Everything. Everything that we're talking about over here is simply because He loves us. Now in 1 John chapter 4, and we start reading from verse 13 onwards over there, where John is speaking about what is love. And he goes on and he says, it is God who loves us. We love because He first loved us. Everything that our Father is giving to you and I is because of His love for us, so that we can receive the love gift, and now we can make His love gift complete. We can work out and manifest His love in and through our lives. What an incredible, as Jesus lived, so are we in this world. That word work out your salvation, is to take what is there and to manifest, is to make it complete, to bring it to its end result. God has poured His love into our heart. Every single spiritual gift that we have, the wisdom of God, the life of God, the power of God, the authority of God, the faith of God, the goodness of God, the protection, the provision, the promises of God, it's all a love gift for us, so that we can work it out and make it complete through our lives as we love one another and we love others. What an incredible journey for you and I to live loved and to love living and to be love. So guys, this is the invitation today. It was so good because someone had an encounter this morning and was sharing, and they had no idea what we're going to be sharing about. And what is so important, because if we'll sit here and we say, wow, Lord, I don't know that love, just ask Him. He loves us too much to leave us stuck in a place of not knowing what His love is. You know, love does something. So you may just say, Lord, I don't understand this love, but here I am. Take me into it. You may be saying, no. This love means it's going to cost me too much. It's going to cost me surrender. It's going to cost blah, 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 blah. Lord, this is what I'm feeling. But I say, teach me. Show me that this love of Yours is better than all these lies that are going through my mind right now. Because it's just the devil just trying to stop you from entering into a life of living loved by God. He said to us now that our life is made complete in Him. And the devil will be saying to you, or in your own mind, or what other people are saying, no, 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 that's impossible. I must be in control. I've been hurt too much. I must make sure that no one can hurt me. I don't want to become vulnerable. I'm in control. No, 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 no. That's a lie. That's a deception. That's a pain in your heart. That's a hurt. Lord, I need healing over here. Just sit and say, Lord, I just invite You in to come and heal, to touch these areas of my life so that I can live loved by You. I want to know Your love. So when you hear John 3:16, for God so loved the world, you're not going to say, I've heard that 100 times, shut up. You're going to say, I know this. I live in it. It's beautiful. I'm going to tell others about it because it's real. It's not just the most famous scripture that everybody puts on a bumper sticker or a fridge magnet. But I live in the reality of being loved by the Father. I know the love of Jesus Christ as we've been looking at atonement and redemption. And I say, wow, God, this is what You've done for us because You love us. So the gift of salvation is His love gift for us. everything that our Father has. Every scripture that God opens up is because it's His love gift for you and I. So you may read that. I was reading a scripture this morning and I said, oh, Lord, you're challenging me over here today. And you know what it's like when you first, and you're just sitting with Jesus. It was like, thank you that you're showing me this now because you love us so much. You love the people of our nation so much. I need to press in to get this established in my life because you love people. I want your love for me to be made complete through my life. I say, yes, Lord, just take me and teach me, mentor me in these areas so that people can be saved and touched in this life. You see, my free will has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So it's not fighting God. It says yes to God. My soul is not captured by sin anymore. It's been redeemed by the blood of Christ. It belongs to God. I've given it to Him. My spirit is not captured by sin anymore. It's been redeemed by the blood. It belongs to Him. I've offered it to Him. And I said, Lord, here I am. You got my spirit, you got my soul, you got my body, you got me, you got your image back, you got everything about me. It belongs to you. Let me just live like that. Thank you. Freedom. The joy, the peace that we have then. No fighting, no resisting. So, if you're battling to be loved by God, today is the invitation where you can say, Father, thank you. I'm going to just risk this today. And I'm going to do a bungee jump. It may feel like another 10 kilometers that I'm free falling until I feel that love rope around me. And then, I'm safe. It may just feel like that for a moment or two, or a day or two, or a month. As we have communion this morning, that's the invitation. It's just to be at the place, Father. I want to live in the reality that I have full access. What is yours belongs to me. I want to live in that reality. So who's prepared to go into that realm? I am. We are very aware, some of you that if you haven't spent for a while, you may be very aware that the level of grace that you are operating in for your life has come to an end. Because it's from another level of grace. Grace, it's abundant grace. And now there's a new grace for you and I to step into to live the reality of redemption. You may be very aware that the realm of glory that you understood and lived in the realm of God's glory that you could do family, the realm of God's glory that you could work, the realm of God's glory that you can minister, all of that, suddenly you realize, whoopsie, not the same anymore, because He's inviting us to go to the next level of His glory, from glory to glory. See, and this is where we are now. So we were Christians, oh God, I'm saved, etc. Now, the grace of being a baby is finished. Now there's a grace to grow up in authority, in the reality of mature sons and daughters. The way of doing ministry and family and all that has come to an end. Now there's another level of glory for my manifest presence to operate in a higher level than it was over there. This is the invitation. Amen. Father, thank you so much that today we are hearing the invitation. Today, Father, your heart is always fully open for us. But together we want to just say yes. We step into this love of yours so that your love is made complete in and through us. We step into a greater level of your authority in your Son Jesus, faith. We step into the reality knowing that now in your Son, we don't live under the curse. We are blessed in your Son with every spiritual blessing. In other words, Father, this is what I believe, is that every blessing that is found in your heart for mankind, we receive it by the Holy Spirit because of Jesus Christ. And so the means of us receiving it is by the Spirit to make it known here in the earthly realm. And so, Father, we want to thank you for the amazing There's so much. There's the wisdom, there's the understanding, there's knowledge, there's revelation, there's truth, there's strength, there's love, there's goodness. There's so much that we have received from you as a new creation in your Son Jesus. A gift of righteousness, the law of the Spirit of life. There's just so much that we have received from your love heart for mankind. And so we want to celebrate you this morning, Lord Jesus, as we eat with you this morning, celebrating your body, the celebrating that you became a man, but you were born under the law. You came into the realm of being under the law to redeem us, to take us out of any form of human effort to try and be born again. So we want to thank you that we're freed of that. We want to thank you, Jesus, that you've set us free from any religious activity and you've poured your Spirit into us. And by the Holy Spirit, we can say, Abba, Father. And now, walking with the Spirit, we can just work out our salvation, listening to you, because our free will is no longer captured by sin, and we can say, yes, Lord, we have your desires. Our heart beat, our heart is one with your heart, to honor and to glorify our Father, whatever we do and say. So we want to thank you that you've freed us from being captured by stuff that has held us in bondage for so long. Jesus, thank you for the power of this blood of yours. What a joy to know that you did not come and negotiate with sin in my life, but you said, no, 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 no. You're paying the full price so that the power of sin is totally, totally, totally destroyed. There's no arguments. What a joy to experience the power of your blood in being free of that power of sin. And today I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that within us, these areas in our lives that maybe we have not yet experienced the power of that, of your blood. And I'm asking for the manifestation of that, the freedom, the deliverance. But Lord, as you've been sharing today, Jesus, you did not just come and pay the full price, but you then said, come. I'm not leaving you there in that sin market. No, 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 no. You have a new life in me, the resurrected life, and you brought us into the Father's heart, that we may live loved by the Father, to live loved by you and by the Holy Spirit, to live in the reality and the realm of your love. And I'm asking today, the areas in our mind, the areas in our soul, every area that still somehow we are entertaining and is been kept captive by these thoughts and the past experience, and that today all of us will just step into the fullness of what your blood has done in freeing our soul, our spirit, our body, our emotions, our mind from that power of sin and the deception of Satan who loves to deceive. So thank you for that. Jesus, we celebrate you as we eat together this morning, and we receive from you, our Father, everything that you wanted to give to us, which we have already been given. But today, make us aware and help us to live it out for your glory, for your honor, through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen.